we've been talking about the president, some of the things that happened. If you weren't aware of this, I'm surprised some
welcome
people
to the daily VFN radio highlights.
Recently,
keeping the conversation light.
A man by the name of Omar Gonzalez just had jumped the White House fence. And to my understanding, that has not been something that's been new. It's happened times before. I mean, I've walked right outside the White House. There's a gate there, and also with a gate in the fence, there's snipers, there's Secret Service in the trees, and you don't even hear them. All of a sudden, you're taking pictures, and you look and go, oh, there's a guy in a tree right there with a gun, you know?
Right.
But apparently, this man was able to not only jump the fence, but run all the way to the front door of the White House, not tackled, not detained, not shot. And not only did he get to the front door of the White House, but he opened the door and walked in.
Hmm.
Apparently, the president had just left 4 minutes prior to that. Reports are, and the president wasn't in harm's way at that moment. But I would dare say that at any time, someone is able to walk through the front door of the White House who's not supposed to be there, I would consider that a threat. We want to be talking about this today because of things that God has showed us and the importance of being able to pray for him. You need to pray for the President of the United States. I mean, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, pray for those in authority. And I'm afraid that sometimes people do more judging, more pointing out, instead of actually taking time to pray. And that's our job as the church. Our job is to pray for those in authority. And there's a blessing for us. You know what? It says that our life will go well if we pray for those in authority.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And God's not approving any kind of ridicule of leadership, and you're not praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not right. But I think that as we're looking at this serious issue, I mean, one of the most, toughest jobs, out there, and there's plenty, but I would say one of them would be what the Secret Service men and women have done, for many years. They have the task and the responsibility of guarding our presidents. And it takes, it's a massive undertaking. I remember when President Bush came to our mm-hmm. Area,
right,
and all the questions and all the screenings and just amazing. My understanding is that they actually show up a week before the president arrives anywhere, and they know the whole schematics, the layout of any building, and, real extensive stuff. But we're looking at what's happened over a series of years, and you start to think, is the Secret Service being set up? I mean, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, there were some Washington socialites, and we have a picture of them right here. We'll have show you that. I believe they're called the Salahis. And these folks were able to go to a White House dinner. Now, they weren't invited. They were not on the list.
Really?
But somehow they were able to walk right through all the screening. Mm-hmm. And it was a White House dinner that was, I believe it was held in honor of the Prime Minister of India. Not only were they able to get pictures with Vice President Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
but they also were able to shake the hand of the President of the United States.
Wow.
I mean, think about this. No harm was done. Nobody was hurt. But somebody mm-hmm. who was not invited walked right through and walked right in. And it was later found out that they had no invitation.
Right.
And they just crashed this event.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's unbelievable.
So that happened. You look at that and you say, okay, what happened there? You would think that, okay, this will never happen again, and that we're going to stay on watch, and we're going to make sure that there are no more slip-ups, because, when have you ever heard in times past that something got past the Secret Service? Really? I mean, of course, we know about President Kennedy and, mm-hmm. and different, things like that. We know that. But I'm talking about on a consistent basis. You really never catch them slipping. I mean, you really don't. No. And they have a really important job. And again, I don't necessarily believe it's maybe even their fault. They may be even being set up as you look at some of the things we're going to be discussing. But go ahead and look at another situation where the president goes to Colombia for a summit and 12 Secret Service were caught in some sort of prostitution scandal during the time that the president was in Colombia. They're in Colombia, and they wind up being sent back while he's there. A dozen of them are sent back. I mean, it was an embarrassment to the president, to the, you know, to the country, and it's like, you know, what's going on here? The president's there on an economic summit, and this stuff is going on. One report is that sensitive material was allegedly left in a room where all this stuff was taking place, and you're like, okay, now, I mean, we need to protect our president. This is not good. This is not good. And then there's another incident. Now, our president gets an opportunity to speak at President Nelson Mandela's funeral. An event, I mean, how many, we covered it on VFN TV. I mean, thousands upon, it was a soccer stadium, I believe. I mean, there were people everywhere, everywhere packed in, dignitaries from all across the world, world leaders from probably every nation was there, and just a foot away from the president, was an interpreter. I want you to see this picture. Was this interpreter, and this is what the Guardian, reports. A sign language interpreter who gesticulated nonsense during Nelson Mandela's memorial service while standing next to Barack Obama and other world leaders has admitted a history of violent behavior and mental illness. The Manska Gentile blamed his incomprehensible signing on hallucinization brought on by his schizophrenia, in which he had heard voices and saw angels entering the FNB stadium in Johannesburg. A scene of historic send out, of course, to the first black president of South Africa. Schizophrenia. He's hallucinating. Mental illness. And violent behavior. And he's standing next to the president of the United States of America? Is this not alarming? I mean, really, is this just not alarming? I mean, who vetted this guy? Who, and why are we finding this information after? We didn't have the same resources available to us before we put this man next to the President of the United States. They said that this man was not even signing. They said they didn't even know what he was doing. He was making up signs. And he's supposed to be interpreting. Wow. The speech for all these world leaders, and how do you explain this? And you're seeing a connect the dots moments, if you will, and you're like, wait a minute, we need to pray for our president. We covered this on BFN TV. We encouraged you then, if we're going to make all the posts related to this segment here on the Torch. And you will see repeatedly how we have covered these events and have encouraged people everywhere, especially believers, Christians, to pray for our president. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about, yes, believe it or not, more instances like this, and talk about the awareness and the importance of standing up right now and not using words to attack, but using our words to bless and to pray. We're talking about the importance of praying for our president, President Barack Obama, praying for himself, his life, his family, their protection. And we're just going back and looking at just some of the times where there was a crack, if you will, where people have been able to get into the White House who are not supposed to be at the White House, shaking the president's hands, where there was an interpreter in South Africa there at Nelson Mandela's funeral who admitted to a history of violence, mental illness, admitted that he saw angels in the stadium and he was hallucinating as he was making up sign.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be sign language, and he's a foot away from the president. We talked about a dozen Secret Servicemen who were sent back home because they were involved in a prostitution scandal in Colombia while they were supposed to be protecting and providing, you know, protection for the president. That was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, what's going on? What is happening? I mean, you got maybe one incident, but now you see one after the other after the other. And we're talking about this because most recently there was someone that jumped over the White House fence and walked into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. This is not good. And so, you know, here we are. And it's for us to be able to praise, for us to be alert, it's for us to know what's going on and understand the times in which we're living in and not say that, you know, oh, nobody told. No, you're being told now. We want to pray for our president. If you haven't been doing this, you want to begin. I mean, we have been praying for our president ever since he's been elected now. And we have a prayer and fasting community, and we have detailed prayer that we pray for him and for his family. And the Bible instructs us to do that. But here recently, there's a report that just came out from the Washington Post. And this is pretty amazing because they do a detailed job, and we're going to make sure that this is all related for you so that you can take your time and you can do your own due diligence. But they talk about an incident that occurred back in November of 2011 where a gunman parked his black Honda on Constitution Avenue, pulled out a rifle, and shot at the White House. Now, I want you to show the picture, Pat. Show the picture, the first one, where the showing the distance away where he was parked. I mean, you're looking at a map, a Google Earth map. This comes from the Washington Post. And he says that he was pointing his semi-automatic rifle out the passenger window. And the man's name is Ortega. And he sent bullets flying across the south lawn.
Wow.
And at least seven bullets struck the residence part of the White House. Now, why was this not who covered it? Why was this not reported? But if you look at the distance, they measure it out to 650 yards. When I first heard this, I thought, well, I mean, if it's right in front of the White House, it's probably relatively close. You know, you can maybe understand that. Until I saw this picture and realized that this is the distance of six football fields.
Six and a half
football fields away.
Wow.
Think about that. Now, we've been to a football game before, mm-hmm. Pat and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did go see the Saints. First and last time, Steve. But I could barely see the football players sitting where I was sitting in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
How can you see six football field lengths away and actually hit something?
Somebody that's got a high-powered rifle with a good sight.
Well, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to show the next picture. Look at, you're seeing a diagram that was put up, and look at the proxy. Look how close these bullets came to the White House.
Wow.
Apparently the president was not there at the time, but one of his daughters was there with her grandmother.
Oh.
And these shots were fired. I mean, you're getting close to the window. And look at the next shot there. One actually hit a window. Mm. It actually hit a window. What's going on here? Listen, when it first happened, they actually, you know, miscalculated, and there's a deep, extensive report about this that they attributed it first to gang violence that occurred, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until some time later that they found out that the White House was actually hit. When a housekeeper was cleaning up and saw some you know, broken stuff, they said, "What is all this?" And they started checking and investigating. Reports are that you know, the president and wife were fuming. And you got to think about it, you know, what is going on that our president would be in this type of danger? And, I mean, all presidents are, you know, have had, you know, threats, you know, waged against them. And this is not nothing new for a leader or a president. But you look at, in recent times, have you seen so many things kind of connect the dots? We want to encourage you to pray. I mean, particularly, I was given a dream by the Lord back in 2007, I believe. It was right during the election. And at this particular point in time, Pat, if you remember, the primary, I mean, they were still in the primaries. The Democrats or neither the Republicans were able to choose. Hasn't come to the point where they actually, you know, voted for their representative, the person that's going to represent their party. And it was during the time where the whole kind of scandal thing with Jeremiah Wright, the president's pastor at the time, came out. And at that time, I thought, when I was watching all this, I was heavily involved, and as the rest of the nation was following you know, the election cycle, that in my own mind and heart, I just say, well, you know, there's no way that he's going to win. You know, he's not going to go any further. This surely will be the end of it. This won't last. And I remember during that time, I went to bed and I had a dream. And in this dream, I'm not going to share everything in this dream. I have before, and we'll make it related on the torch. But in this dream, a couple things happened. One of the things, the second scene in the dream, actually the first part of the scene, is that I saw where there was going to be a covenant that was going to be made, and that the homosexual agenda was going to be pushed, you know, in this administration. I saw that, and this is what's happening. You know, we're seeing events unfold. This was back in 2008. But the next part of the dream, I saw where the president of the United States was Barack Obama. He had won the whole entire election. At this point, in the natural, we didn't even know who was going to represent the party.
Mm-hmm.
But in the dream, he had won the election. He's in the middle of a living room, and he had his hands folded, across his arms, if you will, his arms folded. And it reminded me of the cover of the Time magazine, where he had that same pose. And then I saw two white-haired senators behind him, and they were patting him on the back, giving him congratulations, if you will, and he was a president. Well, the very next scene, I saw the president was lying there right on the floor with a crime scene tape wrapped, you know, all around the edge of his body, if you will, outlining his body, and he was dead. I instantly woke up. I remember grabbing my wife's leg, and I woke straight up. My body just went straight up instantly. I'll never forget it. I grabbed her leg, and I started it just gripped me. That's right. It's a setup. They're going to set him up. And from that time on, I've been praying. We've been praying. I've had other dreams like this that I believe are from the Lord. And we've been doing our very best to alert others to pray for our president. We need to pray for him, pray for his life, pray for his protection, pray for those that surround him, pray that he has good counsel. And one of the things that we've done, in fact, we've talked about this before on VFN TV. Pat, would you share that? This is previous posts showing, you know, where we have prayed for our president, encourage others to do so. There's several of them like that. And we've been doing this, praying for him, ever since he's been elected. Again, we've talked about, we've had the prayer and fasting community for some time now, where we pray on every Monday, 24 hours, kind of take turns praying in different prayer shifts. But one of the things that we've been praying is specifically for him. Steve, would you read that prayer that we've been praying? We want you to join us in praying for him. And in fact, we're going to make this prayer available for you on the torch. In fact, you know what? We'll get to this prayer right when we get back from this break. We want you to come back so that you can hear this prayer and find out how you can get it so that you can pray yourself. We're talking about the importance of praying for the president, to pray for his family, to pray not only, you know, pray for guidance and wisdom, and pray for his advisors that are advising him but pray for his life. Pray for his protection, because we've seen throughout history, over the last few years, several situations that are quite concerning where the president was definitely, you would think, in harm's way, where people who were not invited to be at the White House dinner are able to walk in, where an interpreter who has mental illness, who's hallucinating, who doesn't know how to sign language. He doesn't know how to do sign language. He's actually doing sign language at, not at any event, but at the funeral of Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. And he's a foot away from the president. And I'm being generous. He's probably a whole lot closer to him than that. And then, of course, we have the White House jumper that jumped over the fence here recently. And then in 2011, the Washington Post is reporting that a man by the name of Ortega drove all the way, came all the way to Washington, D.C., parked his car on Constitution Avenue, and it's right across from the White House. But if you're thinking that's just a couple of feet, try 650 yards away, and with a rifle, shoot seven times at the White House residence, striking a window. A window.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't penetrate. The president was not at home at the time. And then, of course, we shared about what God has shared with me prophetically in a dream regarding, you know, the president and our the importance of praying for him. Steve, I want you to pray and read that prayer that we've been praying. It's part of the prayer, not even the entire prayer, but these are the things that we've been praying for the president.
God, I pray for President Obama's spiritual life, that he can hear your voice and obeys your voice in every situation. I pray against all wrong speakers whose intent is to lead him away from your will, Father. God, I ask that in the same boldness that he is currently moving and speaking, that he would turn fully to you, call on your name, that you will answer and he will hear from you and boldly proclaim your will and your ways over this nation. God bless the President of the United States. Father, I pray for your protection over President Barack Obama, his wife Michelle, and their daughters Maylianne and Sasha. I pray for the protection of his and his family's physical, mental, and spiritual body. Protect them from plots and plans of the adversary and evil men that would want to bring harm to them. Give a special grace to the Secret Service officers to know and reveal the strategies of evil men and their evil plots that would want to bring harm to him. We cancel any and all plans by anyone that are trying to bring harm to him, his family, or office in Jesus' name.
That's our prayer. We want you to join with us in praying for the president and understand that it's never, never acceptable to break the law and to do, I mean, I'm seeing people do all kinds of things. Listen, we're a nation of laws. We're a nation that honors authority. And as believers, we need to be ones that are not dishonoring, but ones that are honoring and ones that are standing in the gap as watchmen on the wall and praying. And so we want to encourage you to do the same. Pray for the Secret Service. Pray that any plots, any things that are being, you know, devised to set them up is exposed, and that the president will have good people around him and his family that will protect him at all times. You think about all the places that he has to come in and out of and all the different things that have to happen. You know, it's amazing. You're literally putting your life in other people's hands. And so we want to make sure that we continue to lift him up. Go to the torch. We encourage you. Go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand, upper right-hand corner. Select that, and we have all this, you know, information related to you so that you can do your own due diligence and that you can go further if you'd like to go further and encourage others to do the same. Encourage others to stand in the gap. Imagine what would happen if we would provide a prayer hedge around our leaders. And we're not just only praying for our president. We've been praying for many of the governors across our country. We've been praying for our own local elected officials. And we encourage you to do the same. Pray for those in authority. The Bible instructs us to be able to do that so that it can go well with us in our lives. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge you then, first of all, brothers, that all petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. Listen, that's our heart's cry. That's what we agree with, the Word of God. And that's what we have done, we continue to do, and we encourage you to do the same.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.